Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Hey, pet friends. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm podcasting's favorite, never-on-time celebrity. I may always be late, but when I do show up, I make a splash. I'm Nessie.
I'm Echo. You've probably heard me before.
In another episode at one point?
Maybe. I think I'm on at least one, maybe two.
Oh, yeah, I think so. So, Jay, why don't we talk about a kind of sensitive topic, pet obesity?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, that one could be a hot button issue.
Yes, it can. Fortunately, in the specialty that I'm in, we do not have to talk about weight really ever. Very, very rarely affects what we do, which is really nice.
It's very fortunate on your end. In general practice, we discuss weight pretty much every visit, whether the doctor is letting them know that they're at ideal condition or over it.
Yes. So off the top of your head, do you remember or can you think of like the most obese patient you've ever seen?
Wow. There are a few. I'm going to go with the most recent case actually had a pretty good ending because it was a 10-pound mass. What is those sounds?
You and he's just talking.
You see Nessa?
Yeah, I do want you.
He's like, I don't want to say anything now that I'm in front of the mic.
He's so cute. A more recent case that actually turned out to be an easier fix was a dog that we removed a 10-pound splenic mass from. So,
whoa. How big was the dog?
About 40 pounds, I think.
That's significant. Wow.
Yeah. We had a bit of an abnormal shape to us. The weight seemed to have come on pretty quickly. We weren't having the best time breathing. It turned out to be a mass that we were able to remove, and the dog is doing well now. That is about the quickest losing 10 pounds I've ever seen.
When I was in GP, we had a dog that came in every month for nail trims, but she was a boxer. And she was 130 pounds and the sweetest owner. And I really, really like the dog was precious. Such a nice dog. Such a nice lady. But she could not understand why this dog could not lose weight. And so I know she had talked plenty of times with the doctors. She had talked plenty of times with different technicians. And I was working at the front desk one day and she was just like, I don't understand why she's not losing weight. I only feed her once a day. And I said, oh, well, how much are you feeding her that one time a day? And she's like, just one bowl full. And I said, oh, okay. Well, how big is her bowl? It turns out it was an 8-cup bowl. So she's feeding this dog 8 cups of food a day.
Was he eating the whole whole bowl full?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Oh, my.
I didn't know how else to say it other than it doesn't matter how often you feed her. It's how much you feed her. And it didn't click. And I didn't know how else to say it. But.
Gosh, such a sweet lady.
The whole, I just feed one cup a day, but it's the cup that you caught at a Mardi Gras parade or you got from like the Tom Thumb or Cumberland Farms or from those in the north, a gas station or convenience store. One of their big gulp, like soda fountain cups or pop cups. I'm not really sure, but it's, you know, Coke, depending on what region you're in, you get the picture.
Are any of your pets overweight?
No. I have one bordering on, he's a few snacks away from maybe being over ideal, but right now he's at ideal. And then my muscular girl dog, who looks like she probably does CrossFit or calisthenic.
That's a Ronda Rousey dog there.
Absolutely. And you can see just her muscles poking out. It's poking out weird. It's weird, but we'll go with it. And then my boy dog, Attila, he looks like he's probably more of like the powerlifting type, like he lifts heavy, but only a couple of times. And then, you know, he's pretty good after that. And then, of course, my 18-year-old cat, she is the most petite of them all.
She's very tiny.
Her supermodel ready. What about you?
I know his Gandalf. No, you saw him last week. Dr. Mowdy was very generous about his fluff. But, you know, I just, like, there are several factors at play here. You know, the big three for overweight cats is going to be if they're male, if they're neutered, and if they're indoor only. It's a practical impossibility to keep male neutered indoor cats at an ideal body weight. It just is. Stacy's told me before that like lab cats that have, you know, everything about them measured day in and day out, they're on those like specifically strict diets, activity programs, and all the elements that are being measured and recorded and all that. So even those like very precisely cared for cats on their charts will still say overweight.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, and I say that not to say that we just give up and say, just let them be fat and happy, you know, but we want to try everything we can to keep them as healthy as possible. But also in saying that, like, I don't want to discourage families who are doing everything correctly and their indoor neutered male cat is still carrying an extra half a pound or whatever.
What about just using a cat on a treadmill?
I don't know if he would do that.
It could be an option. It could be an option for some cats, you know, a nice
little. I feel like there probably are some that would do well with that. Like cats that do well with their cat wheels, they might enjoy that.
Your prescription is to put your cat on the treadmill for 10 minutes. But yeah, see how it goes. Start slow. I'm not getting on the treadmill, so I couldn't mean my cat to.
You but no.
I would much rather do a walkabout in the outside than on a treadmill, but sometimes you do what you gotta do.
Same. I have a couple of facts for you.
I actually really enjoy facts.
Great. So in 2010, the American Veterinary Medical Association stated that 44% of felines and 22% of canine populations in America were currently overweight or obese. And then according to the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention in their 2022 survey, 61% of cats and 59% of dogs were estimated to be overweight. So those numbers have gone up quite a bit over time for both cats and dogs.
I would probably say that I find those numbers pretty accurate.
So I thought we should start with, like, what actually is obesity? So do we have a Nitzindeffi? Chonky.
Maybe chomp.
My favorite definition comes from an article from the University of Aberdeen. It says obesity stems from a prolonged imbalance between the levels of energy intake and expenditure, with the resultant surplus being stored as body lipids. And it's, I know it's a lot of words.
AKA we're sausage shaped or one width all over.
So basically, it's just a really wordy, sciencey way to say, like, food and activity are unequal. Food and activity are unequal for a long time, causing excessive fat cells. So Dr. Jason Schmalberg from University of Florida College of Veterinary Medicine has an article that I read where he defines obesity as a pet with a body weight that is equal to or greater than 130% of ideal body weight. So I like that one because it kind of puts a numeric value on obesity. So yeah. I was like, oh, let's see. Is Gandalf obese according to Dr. Schmalberg?
Yeah, that's a very mathy and complicated definition. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So Gandalf is 14 and a half pounds, right? Is that what he weighed in last week? That sounds right.
That, yeah.
I think that.
Done the lot.
You should remember mine specifically and explicitly. He should probably be, I mean, if we're being generous, he should probably be about 11 pounds. So according to Dr. Schmalberg's formula, obesity for Gandalf would be 11 pounds times 130%, which is 1.3. So that would be 14.3 pounds. And he's at or over that. So, yes.
Oh, buddy. He carries it well.
He does because he's so fluffy. He makes you think that he's just all poof.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever watch Buffy and Angel?
No.
I think it's like in the first season of Angel, because Angel is kind of an offshoot of Buffy. But one of the characters is making fun of one of the other characters. And he goes prancing around like a magnificent poof. And that is how I feel Gandalf just gets around.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I think the way Dr. Schmalberg is defining ideal body weight in his article by the BCS scale. Do we have a Nitzindeffi for the BCS scale?
Boom. Curvy.
I like that. On a scale of a big curvy suit, where do you fall on that? That's wonderful.
Body condition score. scale. They usually rate between 1 and 9, 1 being on the anorexic side, 9 being obese. They like them to be right there in the middle of that, somewhere at a 4 and a 5 to be considered ideal. There's 4, which is ideal slim, and then 5, which is just ideal.
At home, you can check your own pets, kind of try to find where they fit on the BCS scale. So, like, you should be able to feel the ribs but not see them. You should have your pet have a visible waist and a little bit of a tummy taper that kind of goes from the ribs up, you know, kind of behind or in between the back legs. But some breeds are not going to conform to, like, those kind of checks that you can do at home. You think about, like, sight hounds, they are meant to be basically 2D. Like, they are very narrow. You should be able to see all of their ribs. Many of them have a very extreme tummy taper, like a borzoi would. So there are some breeds that are not going to be able to check all those boxes, like an English bulldog or a French bulldog.
Very rarely do they have a easy to notice taper on them. A lot of times they're barrel shaped, like a Donkey Kong barrel.
I thought of Donkey Kong in a long time.
Yep.
You know, and it's also not very, like, particularly useful for cats, because cats have a primordial pouch. Do we have a Duffy for the bat one?
Their cat poopa. The cat loopa.
Primordial pouch is an extra flap of just loose skin that kind of hangs down from their abdomen. It's meant for fat storage. So, like, wild cats have primordial pouches too. And, like it's supposed to be there. So, you know, if you've ever seen your cat, like, running across the house or you know, it, down the hall or something, you notice loose skin, like, flapping right in front of their knees. Like, that's the primordial pouch.
There's a special category on Only Paws.
I don't want to know more.
There's a Only Paws. Not that I know. Gotta help make the bill somehow.
Gracious me. Do we want to go into a review?
Yes, now that I fully disturbed every...
I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm good at that. Let's go ahead and do a review. Gosh, are you Red Rover?
Am I Red Rover?
Yeah.
No.
Can I still come on over, though? Now that that's out of the way, what do we have? I have a book for us.
Okay.
The book is called Walk a Hound, Lose a Pound.
All right. Cute. Looks like it's from, like, 1979.
I don't see a year on here, but it has an overall rating of 4.6. So, like, it's pretty not bad. First of all, our reviews today are going to be centered around either anything I found that contributed to pet weight loss, which is a very small niche, by the way, so I didn't find a whole lot in that topic, or foods, which there's always something going on in reviews about food. So some real wild things there. And then we have a theme for today.
Yes, it's going to be Garfield and Friends.
Garfield because love Livania. So who's our first one going to be then?
Garfield himself.
Garfield, wow, we are starting out the gate with a full-on celebrity.
I don't know if I can stand the excitement.
Garfield left a 1-star. He was not a fan of the book. No. It's called You're Kidding, Right? A book to tell you the blatantly obvious? Really? Walking will help you stay fit? Really? Oh. That's news to me. You paid hard-earned money for a book to tell you what you should already know? Really?
Garfield likes that word.
How stupid is this? I need some dude telling me how to lose weight, stay fit by walking a dog? Triple question mark, followed by...
Really?
You're God? Have we as a society... Duke so low that we need to have someone pen a book to tell us how to walk and what the gains are? I won't be falling for the trick for sure. Waste of money going to a great master of telling us all that we are too stupid to figure out on our own. Kudo to you. And I think we should have ended this with another... Yeah, that would have been more fitting, but we... Garfield.
That's
the point.
Why did you buy the book?
Steve, I was going to give him life-changing advice. First of all, you've learned everything there is to know in the books because the title says, Walk a Hound, Lose a Pound. Literally in the title, all of your directions are already there. So, I mean, I've learned so much just from reading the title. I'm ready to go walk a hound. I think it only works with hound dogs. According to the title. Yeah, that's wild. Really. I mean, it's really wild.
Really. You could have just squeezed one more in there. I don't think it had quite enough.
Yeah, that was some tune on that one. Mm-hmm. Some attitude.
But it's great advice.
The book is great advice, or Garfield's review is great advice?
The book. You should definitely go for a nice little walk.
Just take your little dog outside. Take your big dog outside. On a leash. Not Satan's rope, just like a regular 6-foot leash.
A nice, dirty, normal leash under a controlled situation. Clean the poop up. Don't forget to be back. I am judging you. I'm judging you if you don't.
You're not going to pick up your poop.
If that lady during COVID times could take off her own face mask to clean up her dog's poop when she didn't have a bag, and then turn her face mask over, put it back on, then you have no excuse why you can't use a bag. Do you not ever see that video of the girl, also a woman, walking her dogs during COVID, and she had her mask on, and the dog pooped, and she didn't have any bags, so she took her mask off, picked it up, threw the trash into the trash can, like someone's trash can on the road.
That is a very strange way to be courteous and clean while being very discourteous and disgusting. Like, it's courteous that she picked up the poop. Like, that's wonderful. That's what you should do. Discourteous just to throw your dog's poo-poo in somebody else's garbage can.
Well, what was she going to carry? She had to put her mask back.
Well, thoroughly disgusting. Okay. Was this, like, somebody's, like, front door video or trail cam video or something?
Yeah. It was on, like, a door cam. Mm-hmm. It was so everybody during COVID. Everyone was talking about this.
That poor woman probably will only ever be known as thusly.
I am not mad at her for it. I'm excited. And all I'm saying is if she could find a way to pick her poos up.
I wonder if she actually had COVID and then had no sense of smell to be able to put a poo-poo mask back on her face.
Her health is so important to her. She did not obviously want to catch the vid, she would put her poo-poo mask back on. But she flipped it the other way, so the poo-poo side was out.
That is slightly less bad, but that all I have to say is, really? Really? That is...
Really?
Yes. That's... Wow.
I'm so sad you didn't hear about. They'll be sad for you, right? Oh, no.
Let's talk about calorie counting.
Talk about calories, you baby. Talk about...
Go ahead.
Well, the long pause was because I didn't really have anything else to put there. I was trying to come up with lyrics on the fly, and it's actually a lot harder than you may think.
Oh, I do think it's very hard. I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work out, so we're just gonna mosey on past that. Yeah. What did you say? Flabbergasted?
Sure.
Fly right by it. That's way, way different from what I heard. Okay.
The AVMA published an article about nutritional information on pet food and how it differs substantially, really, from information on human foods. And as of this article, anyway, because this article was not published in the last couple of years, but at the time that it was published, there are no requirements mandating calorie content be provided on pet food labels, unless they're labeled light or low calorie or something like that. So this article shows a lot of food comparisons, and it's striking. Like, there's such a wide variation in calorie density betwixt all these different pet foods. So that was a really interesting read. The links to the article will be in the bibliography if you want to take a look and see maybe where your dog falls or your cat falls. Is calories for pets are calculated in kilocalories, or sometimes they're called kcals, which can be found in the guaranteed analysis portion on a pet food nutrition label. So according to Dr. Schmalberg, the ideal formula for cats is going to be between 200 and 250 kcals a day. But for dogs, the range is between 95 and 130 kcal per kilogram of weight to the power of 0.75 per day. It's a lot of math. I ran this formula for my dog, Samantha Carter, comparing the food recommended on her dog food label, comparing that to Dr. Schmalberg's formula. And both of them say that I should be feeding Sam somewhere between 2 and 2.5 cups of food a day. But in reality, like, I think I actually feed her only 1 cup of food a day. And she is pretty much exactly where she needs to be body condition wise. So I thought that was really interesting. These formulas and like the calorie requirement information, like by necessity, cannot account for every single need that a pet has. You know, you're taking into account the age of the pet, their breed, their environment, their different medical needs, you know, and all of these things. Like, this is a good start. Like, this formula is a really good start if your pet is an average healthy animal that is not growing, does not need to lose weight, doesn't have any medical conditions, you know, anything that can change nutritional needs. But I actually have found that I think the simple advice I've ever been given personally is just feed to their body condition. Stacy says that all the time, because pet nutritional needs can vary as widely as human nutritional needs.
We all know that nutrition needs can be a struggle. It's so hard to gauge where you need to be with that. Especially with animals, they have that little bit where they can't go to the grocery store. Can you imagine?
Right.
They take your cars and they're like, I gotta run and grab my food. Or they're hopping in and they're going to get their pup cup, or, you know, running through for some chicken nuggies. I mean, they're really at your whim as the pet owner to what they're eating and how much they're eating.
Yeah. Well, in the same article from the University of Aberdeen, it said that 10 to 15% of captive old world monkeys, which are like baboons and macaques and rhesus monkeys, they develop age-related obesity even when they're maintained on a low-fat diet. And reduced activity of these monkeys due to being caged was not a factor in their obesity. So whether it's your dog or one of your pets, an animal that you're in, or like whether it's wild animals, like it really is true that nutritional needs vary pretty radically in between individuals. And let's not forget our pet's favorite part about food and diet, the treats.
Oh, yes. That really only needs to be 10% of their total calorie intake for the day. And 10% is nothing. I have my own issues with being gluten sensitive, and it is a real thing, people. I'm trying to tell you. I know that people out there that think gluten allergy is fake, but you tell that to my intestines is all I'm saying. Or the poor people around
my intestines
around me in the room after I've eaten something with a type of gluten. So anyway, with the gluten worries and with the pre-diabetes that I'm always currently. Not always and currently, they don't work together. The pre-diabetes that I have and trying to prevent from turning into full diabetes, my diet changed significantly. If I'm going to do coffee, I cannot go without a creamer or sweetener, but now it's a sugar-free. So there's like the sugar-free aftertaste. And I found a ways to make it like tolerating, but I've had to make changes due to the way my life has changed over the years. And I think it works similar to dogs and cats as well.
Yeah. And they're just because of so many things that you have to consider, you know, when you're talking about your pet's individual nutrition, the best source of all is going to be your veterinarian, because your veterinarian is the one that has your pet's health and medical history. And they're the ones that look at your pet's blood work or other relevant diagnostics, and you know, they're the ones that have diagnosed any disorders or diseases your pet has. They're the ones that prescribe the medication your pet is on. They're the ones that are examining your pet's physical status, giving your pet the BCS score. Like, your veterinarian is the one who's able to look at the entire picture of your pet to be able to give you the best recommendation possible.
Oh, I did forget to mention when you were talking about how the BCS score and being able to see your pet's ribs. A great way for you to put your mind around that is to look at your own hand, okay? Or flexed out hand. If you rub over your knuckles, that is ideal body condition. You can feel your knuckles under your fingers. You can see them slightly, but it's not a tight situation, right? Now make your hand into a fist and now feel over your knuckle. That is underweight. That is borderline anorexia there. You can feel every individual knuckle. You can feel the tightness of the skin. Now, take your open hand, flip it the other way, and feel the palm of your hand there. That cushiony goodness at the palm of your hand there, that is what obesity or overweight pet would be like. I hope that's helpful to some people out there who are trying to get a handle on it before they go to the vet and are surprised with news, you know, that they weren't expecting.
I think we can go to commercial break now and get ourselves a review.
We haven't said review in French in a really long time.
Good night.
Slowly lost my mind. We are actually recording at like 8 o'clock at night. And just the time that the unstable part of the brain comes out, I think.
We're both wearing scrubs. Like we both just finished a full day.
We did. We're here. Whatever you get is unhinged. And you're either gonna like it or not. You're gonna like me at my best and most exhausted, or you're not. Okay, cool. Commercial.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
I went out to the lobby to get a cat to bring to the back, and she had a full-on ceramic mug of coffee just sitting in the windowsill.
The cat did, or the owner did?
Well, and I was like, oh, wow, you brought your whole mug to the vet today, you know? I've never seen such a thing before, and she's like, how else was I going to have my coffee, right? And so then I was like, well, that's true, I mean... I didn't think of that, right? And so I was like, oh, I could never. I'm too clumsy to carry, glass or ceramic around. And she said, well, don't be clumsy with my cat, because I was just about to bring her cat to the back to do this blood work. And obviously, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in if I was regularly, dropping a cat, right? And I was like, oh, no. I'm not clumsy with animals, just glass.
That's worse. That's almost worse.
I didn't know how to fix it at that point. It's already gotten way too weird. I should have just ignored the cup of coffee in the window. But you know me, I can't. You get the shoeless man in the lobby. I was like, oh, you have no shoes on. This is a bold choice, right?
Right.
No, what do you want from me?
I have a story about coffee from today, too, because I woke up with my head on backwards, I guess. But I went to go make my coffee. When the Keurig, and I hit the button and I walked away, and I came back 20 minutes later and there's coffee all over the counter. And I was like, oh my gosh, my machine is leaking. I'm so upset. So I like shoving everything off the counter, cleaning it up. And then I realized I did not put the mug under the Keurig.
it was
so bad.
I just hit the microphone with my chin. So you brewed coffee just into the catch tray underneath?
Right.
Oh, no.
Look, because that's not what it's meant for.
But also going back to it 20 minutes later, it was cold anyway. Were you going for cold coffee?
Yeah, actually, I do. When it's this hot out, I make iced coffee, so.
Yeah, that tracks. So anyway, that is the weird stuff we have going on with coffee these days. I'm saying.
Ready for that review.
Oh, I forgot we was doing a review. I thought we talked all about one. I got distracted with our, commercial and coffee and people. I don't know. Okay. I got you.
It's the end of the day.
I'm clearly Delulu at this point. So, this is for Pedigree Healthy Weight Adult Dry Dog Food. Roasted chicken and vegetable flavor. The yellow bag that looks like it has some dyed dog food pieces that are supposed to be vegetables.
It's roasted chicken and vegetable flavor?
Yes.
It is not made from roasted chicken and vegetables?
The colorful pieces that are in this food are just dyed the dog food.
Green and orange kibbles?
Yeah. Which must be what gives it the vegetable flavor.
Who wants that vegetable flavor, though?
The dog don't.
Like, I can see a roast chicken flavor. Yum, because I like roast chicken.
Have you never, wanted to squeeze out the juice from a carrot onto a piece of dry kibble and been like, here's your carrot kibble?
No. And in fact, I don't think I have ever, wanted the carrot-flavored ice cream. or this spinach bun. Who cares about a cinnamon bun? I want a spinach bun.
Nobody.
Like, that's... No! Why would you want vegetable flavor?
Yeah.
Just eat the vegetable.
Just eat the vegetable. I got you. Who's our second character? Our next character.
This is gonna be Odie.
I'm Odie. Okay.
That also stands for right eye. O-D. The right eye.
Do you know what O-D actually stands for?
Over dare.
It stands for that eye over dare.
No, that is... I'm going to go with yes. I think that's hilarious.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
But actually...
Oh, dear.
It's Oculus Dexter. It's Latin. And O-S, the left eye, is Oculus Sinister.
See? It all has to do with Dexter, that serial killer from TV. Dexter, Sinister.
O-U, meaning both eyes.
You owe me what?
Oculus Uter.
Oh. It's Oculus what now?
Ut.
What?
It's Latin.
Uh-huh. You jerk. No. Okay.
I'm going to give you an A for effort.
When did effort start with an A?
When did effort start?
With an A.
With an A. Effort? When you're in the South?
Gosh, I love being here in the South.
I will just reemphasize, it's late at night. We're tired.
Yeah. I think this unhinged comment... What?
Conversation?
This unhinged pungeon is gonna work for us. It's great.
Yeah.
Odie, but not over dare I, is giving a 1-star review. Okay. Hello. And it is for that pedigree dog food, in case anyone has forgotten, because we've gotten off prep slightly. It is called Get Some Carpet Cleaner 2.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
A short one, it'll be fine.
Is it going through the attic or out the basement?
Oh, honey, it's the basement.
My dogs won't stop pooping. No wonder this product helps your dog lose weight.
Which, valid, you know, nothing helps you slim down more than a good colon cleanse.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the pedigree. Odie did not have a good time, so he's cleaning. He might still be cleaning carpet today.
Really?
I'm sure of it. Oh, man. Do you think he stopped pooping at this point? My dog won't.
I hope so. So funny.
That's an unfortunate chain of events, if I ever saw one. They courted.
Well, what if he took his dog to the dog park and he introduced his dog to the park bench?
A little dookie on the bench. Little duke.
Little people poop on park benches.
Anyway, if anyone's looking for a good colon cleanse for their dog or themselves, oh, who's to say? Maybe folks.
Did you ever eat dog food or cat food as a kid?
As a kid? No. I have.
Surprising.
As a child, we didn't really have pests in the house. It didn't happen until I was older. Right. Where I knew better. But then I became an adult and I was like, well, my dog's gonna eat it, or this looks good enough that I might want to try it too. The dog biscuit, purely cardboard to me. Even if they have a nice little icing on the top that makes them cute, you don't taste sugar at all. The lies on fire. Pill Pocket, these smell better than they taste me, personally. Yeah.
I don't have that rule in my house because my dogs eat the chicken poop, so we don't do that.
But don't try that.
Now, I will say, I mean, I eat the eggs, so I guess in a way...
You wash them, so it doesn't sound the same.
I do wash them, but I have a little egg carton that says, My Pet Poops Breakfast. I just thought of that, and I was like, well, I guess it's different.
I think that's the funny app for your egg carton.
Yeah. There's a whole series and it's like Farm Fresh Butt Nuggets. It's another one.
I don't think I like that one very much.
There's another one that says, guess what? And then it has a little picture of a chicken and an arrow pulled to the butt.
A little chicken butt. I mean, I've really dug myself into a bowl. Listen, I don't, not the, the old saying, you know, like, what's up, chicken butt? And then, or guess what? Oh my god, I don't even do it right. Guess what? Chicka butt. And then you'd be like, guess why? Chicken side.
I do not have that printed on an egg carton.
Well, just so you know, there was more to it. It wasn't just that one initial line. So that's what I meant by it. I missed the old saying because I did it all the time. Because like, guess what? They'd be like, what? And you'd be like, chicka butt. And then you just run away because you just like ruined their day in your mind, you know?
Oh, no.
Shall we go back to the information part of the episode?
Yes, we fully lost control.
Here. So I have this textbook. It's called Basic Veterinary Nutrition. And it was not an actual textbook. It's like a spiral-bound book of notes for the veterinary nutrition elective. This is from University of Florida College of Veterinary Medicine. Stacy gave it to me when she was in vet school after she finished the course. But I had a lot of fun reading through these notes. Can you guess what is listed as the first nutrient?
Protein.
It's water.
There's water and protein.
I thought so. Bit of a cheap shot. And I was like, all right, essential but easy to forget. Water. But according to Basic Veterinary Nutrition, the amount to feed your pet is enough food to provide the metabolizable energy the animal needs to maintain its body weight and body condition, which is feed to body condition. that's what that says.
Nice.
You know?
Nice summary. I like that.
The textbook has its own calculations for maintenance energy requirement, but it does say, which I thought was really interesting, it's on this one page, it says in all caps, calculations only give an estimate of the amount needed for the average animal. So body weight, BCS, life stage, environment, changes in diet, all that. Those are all essential to monitor because at the end of the day, you're measuring for the needs of an individual. In this textbook that's not a textbook, there is a chapter on obesity. Read the whole thing. It was great. Now for dogs, they say that obesity is more common in specific breeds. Can you guess any of those? 3, 6, 9.
3, 6, 9. Don't see. Let me gonna talk it to her one more time. Did low get low like a 18 wheeler? I'm pretty sure that half of those lyrics were wrong.
I don't know that song very well. I think the last time I listened to it was probably 8th grade.
Yes, that's fair. It's a throwback for sure. But every time I hear anyone put those numbers together, instant. Randy, half of the time.
I can see that. What breeds do you tend to see being more overweight in a, you know, since your GP, you see all breeds. Like, what sticks out?
Definitely lab.
That's number one on their list.
So Science Weekly, actually a different podcast that does scientific article study things. I know words. They actually reported on a study that was done on labs and their gluttony. And apparently they've isolated what they believe to be a gene that is the driving force behind these labs that most other dogs don't have, so they can't help themselves. Yeah, I can send you the link to the episode and I'll put it in our show notes. It is worth the listen, especially if you have labs. I think they mentioned one other breed that they found the gene in, but I cannot remember what it was.
Guess we'll have to listen to that episode.
Listen to it and find out and get back with us.
Yeah.
And the other one I would say is maybe like a dachshund. I feel like
before
see a lot of round.
I feel like beagles. We don't get to see too many beagles here. It's often they are hover around.
They live by their nose and smells. What are they going to run into? All those fun smells for, you know, food and whatnot. I would.
Beagles are made of nose.
They are made of nose.
The other breeds that are listed are Cairn Terriers, Cocker Spaniels, Shelties, which I thought was surprising, Basset Hounds, King Charles Spaniels, Jack Russell Terriers, and Corgis. Those are kind of the ones that they said obesity is just more common in those breeds. And they said it's more common in spayed female dogs as well.
Yes, and that's actually true because when you spay females, actually, even when you neuter males, they sometimes will gain weight too. What you've done is you have stopped the hormone development that is key to how they stay fit in a way. So there even is some special diets out there for spayed dogs. But yeah, a lot of times it affects hormone production.
That totally makes sense. The textbook, but it's not a textbook, also said that obesity is more common in dogs that have obese owners at 44%, as opposed to dogs with average owners at only 25%. Yeah, I didn't really think about it.
There is sometimes the correlation, you know, unfortunately. And that's what makes sometimes addressing it in the room so difficult, because a lot of times an owner may feel attacked by that. And that's never our intention, you know? It's always for the well-being of the pet, but it can be difficult. to breach the topic.
And there are some increased risks, too, for obese dogs, like increased risk of inflammation, increased risk of insulin resistance, right? We learned all about that on our diabetes episode with Stacey. Oxidative stress, which I didn't know if we had talked about that in a previous episode. I didn't think so. But do you want to mention what that is?
That is when you have trouble breathing or taking in oxygen.
Yep. That's really what it is. Increased risk of...
Can you not hear me? Phenomena.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
Banana. 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 Anything now?
Okay. Well, it's working now.
Is your dog a boxer?
No.
Because you're a knockout.
Other risks. We stopped at the increased risks for obese dogs. Oxidative stress was the last one we talked about. Another increased risk is for pyometra. Did you want to talk about what pyometra is real quick?
It is infection in the uterus.
Yes. And when you have an unspayed female dog, that can be life-threatening. That requires emergency surgery to remove the uterus.
Yes. They say never let the sun set on a pyometra.
Mm-hmm. Other increased risk for obese dogs are like circulatory problems and increased risk of infection, not to mention a decreased lifespan. So lots of really bad side effects can happen for dogs that are obese for long term. For cats, this book says that for heavier obese cats, they are more likely to be male, neutered, middle-aged, living in an apartment, and consuming low energy density or senior diets. And so I was like, now I don't have an apartment, but my house is small. That kind of does describe Gandalf. So I was like,
you're checking a few boxes there.
Checking a few boxes. Yeah. Increased risks for overweight cats include increased incidence of diabetes, which is twice as likely in heavy cats and four times as likely in obese cats. Also increased risk of joint disease and skin conditions, possibly due to being unable to properly groom themselves.
Yeah. Keep on repeating. Hey, what?
That's right. Do you want another review?
Yes. I guess I do want that. I do. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Let's see what I have here. Who's our review going to be from?
This is going to be from John Arbuckle.
Oh, Garfield, we have a visitor.
This is for Hill's Science Diet Perfect Weight Adult 1 to 6 Wet Dog Food. Tuna and vegetable stew, which, girl, the idea of a tuna stew all of a sudden made me lightly green. I get that. One star from John called, Min Pin would rather eat cat poo than this food.
Ease. I mean, my dogs would rather eat cat poo than pretty much anything, so.
Let's learn more, John. Tell us more, bud. Horrible dog food. My Min Pin, who eats dirt and cat feces, won't eat it. It's extremely dry. Or dogs look like he had a mouthful of peanut butter, chewing and chewing, problem swallow-like. After a couple of bites, he walked away and would not taste it. He went outside and ate grass instead. I have tried several times. Vicky would try it again, tried adding a bit of water to moisten it, tried Vicky with other foods that he does eat. Nope, he'll eat cat poop, but he won't eat it.
Okay. Anything that is labeled as stew but has the consistency of peanut butter has a bad label on it.
That's strange. That's a strange mix-up.
It sounds like maybe it was a bad can or something because...
Well, you tried a few others.
Oh, yeah.
I think where you went wrong was you went with a tuna and vegetable stew.
Tuna?
For your Mint Pin.
What about the tuna?
He said he ate a few bites and could barely swallow it. And he went outside and ate grass instead.
I don't particularly like fish myself, but I don't know if I've ever preferred grass or cat
food. You know what, John? Actually, I'd just take a salad instead.
And dry. I don't want your peanut butter tuna.
I've decided I'm a vegan now, and I will only eat grass. I will not be eating this tuna slop that you've just presented me.
Tuna slop?
Slop. Oh, that was probably unpleasant for a lot of people here.
That does not sound appetizing at all. That description was real gross.
I brushed with tuna-flavored toothpaste, and I still would not. As we recall from previous episodes, I still want Irish tuna soup.
Oh, dear. So, I don't know if I've told you this story before, but did you know that I tried to take my dog to the gym once?
I did not.
Yeah. It didn't work out.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
And she keeps going. I'm just, I don't even.
That's why it took like a minute. I could like see it loading, like that little circle when your website is loading. I could see it loading on your face. And then you were like, oh, it's a joke.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, a people gym? What kind of a dog gym? Where did you go? Silly goose.
I don't go to the gym. That's the real joke.
Thanks to stay.
Let's talk about exercise.
Talk about exercise, baby. Talk about chin-ups and push-ups.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I don't know the names of those fancy workout exercises.
None of those involved a
Pilates. There you go.
Okay, yep. Talk about Pilates, baby.
There you go. Ensuring that your pet gets adequate exercise is definitely a very important part of, you know, preventing or even controlling obesity right now. Like, I hate it, but, you know, if there's an activity that I enjoy that just happens to be exercise, I'm good. It's like, you'll never find me in a gym. But if there's a dog park that has a bunch of acres of trails through the woods, like me and Sam, we're happy. We'll just go walk some trails. She loves it. To sniff everything.
I quite enjoy Zumba. I'm not good at it, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I do enjoy your Zumba stories.
So there was the time that it was only my second time ever at a Zumba class, and this song came on that I remember really enjoying from the first time. And I was like real loud because I have no filter and I am not embarrassed very easily in public. And I was like, this is my jam, right? And so the instructor is like, oh my gosh, if this is your song, come up and do it with me. Remember, it's only my second time there. I've been liking these routines yet. And so I'm up there next to the instructor, and I am going all the opposite ways of her, like all the wrong way. Them down a beat, you know, like all the ways she probably wished I wouldn't do. Because I'm one of those, when you're like right or left, I have to put my fingers up and look for the hell. So I panic last minute, and so I have to verify that I have the right left in mind, right? See what I did there? I added it. Anyway, moving past that. So not only was I going all the wrong ways, at one point, I completely blanked and panicked, and I hit a freestyle up there. Just my own terrible offbeat thing that I was just going with the flow on. At the end of the song, the instructor kindly said, okay, honey, you don't have to do anymore. You could go back now. And so...
That was a very nice way to say that.
She never called me back up to the front anymore, but... Really? Yeah, I know. Embarrassing. Why did you even do that? But to me, just doing something you enjoy is the best. My dogs, when I do Dance Central at home, they come to, like, investigate and make sure I'm not, like... maybe seizing or something, or having a medical emergency. They're like, the TV screen is also asking me if I'm okay at this point. Like, I get it.
Are there activities that you like to do with your pets?
We do enjoy hiking. We like to take them on little trail hikes. And we are very avid at couch lounging together. Have you ever tried couch lounging? You got to stretch first to make sure.
You don't want to pull anything.
No. Yeah. So we do enjoy that on a nice weekend. So.
Yes. And it's important to find an activity that your pet enjoys. You know, just let them have fun. You know, for dogs, like, it could be chasing a ball or going for a walk. But, you know, it could also be like spending the day at doggy daycare. You know, things like that. Cats are a bit more of a challenge, I feel like, because...
They don't enjoy doggy daycare.
No, they would not. Some cats will enjoy, like, chasing around a laser pointer or batting around a crinkle ball or a bell toy or something. My 4-year-old cats, they cannot get enough of chasing, like, dangly bits on string. That's all they ever want, is just to chase and run after those. And they'll jump.
I also enjoy that.
Yeah. You chase dangly bits on strings?
Regularly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you ever catch them?
Not quite fast enough, but I'm hopeful that one day.
One day.
With the proper training I make.
You just need a little bit more of those crazy acrobatics, you know, jumping in the air and you gotta go like this to catch them.
at that's what I'm doing wrong. I don't do that.
Yeah. That was me kind of like clapping my little hands together like their paws with no thumbs.
Yeah, it was actually very helpful, and I'm going to give it a go. Oh, man, you guys are really missing out on some gold here. Too bad you can't see it.
No, it can sometimes be a challenge to think of fun activities that you can do with your dogs, but, you know, it doesn't just have to be things around the house or like constant daily stuff either. You know, if you have a high energy dog that is really bored, right? Like a smart dog that is bored results in destruction. Sign that dog up for an agility class or something. If you have a dog that is, you know, ruled by their nose or made of nose, you know, like they have a propensity to run away on a scent, try search and rescue training. You know, if you have a very sweet, gentle dog that requires your attention around the clock, you know, work with them to become a therapy dog. If you have a child and a dog and you want them to develop a bond, you can look into canine freestyle. Like, it doesn't just have to be walks and playtime, you know, just find something interesting and enjoyable for both of you.
These are great suggestions. Yeah, I personally find if you are into Netflix, find a good couch.
Find a good couch.
Find a nice comfy chair. No, I'm obviously exaggerating, but I'm usually up on a desk doing schoolwork. Most people sit at a desk, but apparently I'm on it. So.
Different strokes for different folks, as my mother would say.
Don't judge me.
I've already judged you, but I deem you worthy enough to be my friend. Pass that test.
We listen and we still judge.
Yes, we do. But we judge lovingly. How's that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is helpful criticism.
You have some of the most remarkable stories sometimes. And I'm just like, huh, that was a choice. All right. And that's okay.
Put myself out there, you know?
It's very fun. It's very funny. And I love your stories. I think they're great.
My thing is I make myself, I think, approachable in public because I don't have my face buried in my phone. If I make eye contact with a stranger, I'm going to nod my head and acknowledge. I'm not just going to like turn my eyes away and pretend it never happened because that feels awkward to me. So I nod my head and like, I see you type deal. So, I mean, when your face is up and in the world instead of down in your phones, people notice that and say weird things.
You do have a very approachable like air about you. Like if I did not know you and I just saw you out in the wild, I would probably be like, she seems nice. She seems fun. Like if I was in trouble or something, you would be the person that I would probably go to and be like, hey, very nice stranger that I have never met. I need some help. You know, you have that very welcoming, very friendly kind of aura about you.
I like that. I think that there's enough negativity out there that I don't need to add more to it. It makes me feel better.
Do you want another review? A last review?
Are we on our last review?
I don't have anything else. Do you?
I have tons of reviews. Let's do two. Who is this one going to be from?
Nermal.
Oh, Garfield, face it. I'm cute. And you're not.
Nermal? I don't know what that is.
It's a cat.
Oh, yes. A cat. Meow. This product is called Yarcore.
It's called what now?
Yarcore.
Like parkour, but in the yard? Yarcore?
Yeah, that's the name of the company. And it is called the Dog Feeding Reminder Magnet Reminder Sticker AM/PM Daily Indication Chart Feed Your Pets Fridge Magnets and Double-Sided Tape Prevent Overfeeding or Obesity in Silver. It's been a while since we had a title this long. And I have a one-star review from Nerval. It's called Human Lotus, Not Doggo. Before this, humans sometimes get bamboozled and gibbed me two breakfasts. Now, no bamboozle, and I no get two breakfast. It is a bluffing tragedy. I calling PETA. Oh, by the way, I not a doggo.
I don't know what to say to that.
Somebody call PETA, which is Doggy 911. Doggy 911. They have their own special doggy cell phone that they keep hidden from us so that we don't know that they have them. And they hit like a special combination code or something that they can use to call Doggy PETA, like a pa boop boop, I believe.
Pa boop boop. Sounds right.
Yeah. And that is how your pet snitches on you for not feeding them to breakfast.
There he is. Hey,
Hi, girlfriend. We're doing this.
She blends into your scrubs.
Yes. Old lady. All right, if you get comfortable then, we're going to get back to work. So, yes, it's a fluffin' tragedy. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Fluffin'.
What about that is it that you hate the most? Like, because you, as soon as I read into the sentence, you were like, no.
I hate it. I don't tend to like adult human people writing the silly, like a perspective of a dog. I don't like that. It's just a personal preference.
And the thing is, the product seems to be working.
Yes, and it gave him a 1-star review because it's doing good.
To be funny, to be like, this dog is starving to death, PETA. He doesn't get double breakfast anymore. 1-star. You're doing your job. Imagine getting 1-star for doing your job properly.
Mm-mm. I don't want that.
Do you want one more?
One more.
One more turn. I don't know the rest of that song.
No. I was like, I know this song.
Do you know more? No. This is going to be for Purina Pro Plan Weight Management.
Okay. Dog food.
Dog food. Chicken and rice formula. Who is it from?
This one is from Arlene.
Arlene. So this is a 4-star review from Arlene. Dog love it, but dot, dot, dot. Are you in suspense yet?
I'm totally suspended.
Sorry, sir. Unsuspend yourself for just a second. Come back down.
All right, here we go.
My dogs really love this food. They do hunt through it first for the soft bits and leave the hard ones on the floor, but eventually they get hungry and come back for them. I would give this 5 stars, but it gives my beagle unbearable gas, and it drives me and everyone else from the room.
Maybe I do want to be suspended for this. Just hang out above everybody. Just kind of float along there.
Yeah, unbearable beagle gas.
I have never had a beagle, but I do imagine that beagle gas is real bad.
They get into some things. So imagine that your dog's gas is bad enough that you take off a whole star.
That's pretty bad.
That is it. He describes it as room clearing, you know? Okay, well, that is all I have. Do you have any more things?
No, that's all I've got.
In our show notes, you will find our bibliography with our information that we used, our sources for this episode, as well as the information for that podcast that I mentioned for the Science Weekly. And we have an AI song for this episode. I think it's called Give Love, Not Treats. It's that cute. We'll see you for our next episode. Okay, bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Chunky paws and heavy breath, tiny eyes just looking sad. Love them all, but not with snacks. Keep them jumping, feeling glad. Rotund bellies wobbling round, healthy habits must be found. Vet bills sky high, can't ignore. Love not treats can help them soar. Give love not treats, keep them light on their feet. Give love not treats, fill their heartbeat. Give love not treats, keep them light on their feet. Give love not treats. Friends should live and grow. Playful days and lively nights. Running free, it's their right. Jumping high and chasing tails. Love is strongest without scales. Caring means a longer life. Active pets avoid the strife. Give love not treats. Keep them light on their feet. Give love not treats. Fill their heartbeat. Give love not treats. Keep them light on their feet. Give love, not treats. Give love, not treats. Keep them light beat.